a blessed Christmas with an abundance of God's grace. Our homily will be on Christmas, the lesson of humility in religious life. There is no limit to the lessons that God is teaching us when he became man and was born in Bethlehem. However, the most basic lesson is the lesson of humility. We first ask ourselves, what was the humility of Bethlehem? As we've heard so often, the Incarnation was and is the humiliation of God. Out of love for a sinful human race, God became, and the verb is our faith, God the Creator became a creature. Of course, without ceasing to be Creator. Then to make it very clear, a thousand ways in which God might have come into the world as man, he chose to be born away from home in a stable among animals. God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Word of God, by whom everything else which exists outside of and beyond God, everything was made by his divine will. That infinite God became a speechless child. Not accepted even for lodging when his mother gave him birth. Not recognized, and soon after, when he was recognized, an attempt at his murder. Talk about humility. So we ask ourselves, what is humility? In one simple sentence, humility is the truth. It is the truth in our relationship with God, which we call, in theology, religious humility, or humility as the virtue of religion, the truth of recognizing ourselves as absolutely, utterly, totally nothing, except for the omnipotence and love of God. We were nothing, we would be nothing, absolutely speaking, except for God, we are nothing. Then what in theology we call moral humility. Again, it is the truth. Here, the truth of our relationship to others. What possible claim can we make for, dare we say it, considering ourselves better than, superior to someone else? Everything we are, everything we have, is a sheer, unqualified, constant gift of God. But now we ask, how are we religious, to practice humility? I have 7 qualities. A humble religious prays. But what a difference, what a world of difference between praying verbally, externally, shall I say apparently, and really praying. We pray only in the measure that internally our minds are always conscious of our nothingness in the sight of God. Always aware that no less than we depended, past tense, on our very existence, on God's omnipotent love. So we continue to depend on Him for reaching our destiny. How this needs to be, dare I say, burned into our minds. As we know, and this is infallible revelation, only those who pray will reach the God from whom they came. A religious prays, and prays internally, prays constantly, in a word, really prays. A humble religious is aware of his or her sinfulness. What a statement. Why even bring that up on Christmas Day? Because that's why there is a Christmas Day. God became man in order to redeem a sinful human race. Oh, how generic, how abstract we can be in speaking of God as the Savior. God became man to save a sinful mankind. How specific we religious should be. God became man to save me. Except for the incarnation and the incarnate God being born at Bethlehem, none of us. And it's a universal negative. None of us could hope to see God. How we need, beginning with the speaker, how we need to constantly remind ourselves we are sinners. We were conceived, as the psalmist tells us, we were conceived in sin. A humble religious has no illusions. I am a sinner. A humble religious recognizes his or her need for guidance. When our Lord told us that unless we become like little children, we will not reach our heavenly destiny. Notice, become. In other words, we need to grow in our awareness of our utter and total helplessness, and helplessness in not knowing why we exist and how we are to reach our destiny, and why therefore we need constant guidance. I know what I'm saying. The more naturally gifted we are, the more liable we are to be, how will I know this, intellectually proud. We need guidance. Like children, we need to be led by the Spirit of God, and for us religious, through the rule, the constitutions, the norms approved by the church, which we believe was founded by infinite wisdom become man. A humble religious recognizes the need for obedience. Christ could not have been more emphatic. And he taught us, as we know, first and mainly by his own life. For 30 years, obedient to Joseph and Mary. And in that sequence, externally, Joseph was head of the Holy Family. I know how well I know how demanding, how crushingly demanding true obedience in a religious community can be. I know. The hardest virtue, and I'm speaking from experience, for this sinner to practice obedience to my quote-unquote superiors, most of whom, after my ordination, I had taught. A humble religious, all this needs to be not just memorized, but carved into our minds. A humble religious is open to grace. We know, our faith tells us, as religious, we are given such graces, plural, grace of illumination for the mind, graces of inspiration for the will. Those who have not received this vocation, dare I say it, do not have a title to. But the most important adversative in any language, but everything depends on our openness. Openness of what? Openness of our wills. Of our wills to the will of God. A synonym for divine grace. God's will in our lives. Oh, how stubborn, dear God, dare I say it, how stubborn we can be. We, who except for God's merciful love, would not even exist. Oh, it took me years to learn this, and I'm still learning. The key is to see in every situation in our lives, to see the mysterious, incomprehensible will of God. I never tire repeating, telling one audience after another, nothing ever happens, nothing. Everything in our lives is meant to be a grace from God. But the faith it takes to see God in every person, in every pain, in every misunderstanding, in every manifestation of unkindness, in every case where our will is tested, sometimes to the breaking point, and faith tells us, I would not submit to any creature. Oh, but I must see my faith, see God, and everything, as we mistakenly say, happens in our lives. Nothing ever happens. Everything is a manifestation of God's grace. A humble religious, three qualities. A humble religious is patient. A humble religious is kind. And a humble religious is grateful. He is patient. As we've heard so often, to be patient means to suffer. There is zero, no patience without pain. A humble religious recognizes in every pain the mysterious, loving will of God, providing us with a blessed opportunity of submitting, accepting what we don't like, because we love the God from whom we believe the pain has come. A humble religious is kind. What a difference between being loving and being kind. We are kind, we show our love, we manifest our love. In other words, we're not only loving internally, we're also loving in every word, in every gesture we make, should I say it, in every eyelash, in every wrinkle on our face, in every smile when our heart may be in deep pain. A humble religious is grateful. Grateful first of all and constantly to God, but grateful to others. Except for our father and mother, none of us would be. How oblivious we can be of the goodness and generosity and selfless love of so many people, indeed of everyone who touches our lives. We should show that gratitude. And what a difference between a thoughtless person and a grateful religious. Strange statement. A humble religious is trusted by God. What are we saying? Should we say a humble religious trust in God? Of course. Or we're saying more. A humble religious is trusted by God. And God knows us. He knows our fiber of our body, every movement of our wills. He knows how well He knows how humble we really are. And hear it. I'm still learning this lesson. In the measure of our humility, God will entrust us with responsibilities, will entrust us with gifts and graces, such as only the humble, dare I say it, have a right to expect. Our faith tells us the most humble human person who ever lived was the Mother of God. Talk about God trusting one of His creatures, trusting her, and trusted His only divine Son to her motherly care. Now we ask, if this is the humility that we religious should practice, why is humility in the religious life so indispensably important? Because we have received graces from God in the past, have the assurance of graces from Him in the future. But we are to cooperate with, and we cooperate with God's grace only on the measure of our humility. why is humility so indispensable in the religious life? Because, as we have been saying and will repeat, consecrated life is going to the most, dare I use the adjective, the most chaotic convulsion in the church's history. And why? Because God have mercy on us. Thousands of so exaltingly gifted persons, religious, have failed in humility. I know what I'm saying. The only religious institutes that will even survive this massive crisis are communities whose members are authentically, truly, profoundly humble in heart. How we need, dear Lord, how we religious need to not just maintain humility, but to grow in humility. I'm almost, but not quite finished. We've said there is no humility without prayer, but there is no humility without humiliation. And here I am still learning. When God became man, from his conception and birth up onto his death on Calvary, God was humiliated. We need, I know what I'm saying, we need humiliations. Need them, you need them, I need them, in order to grow. It is fundamental virtue of not only our religious life, but of Christianity. God will use us religious as channels of his grace to others. I dare say to the thousands whom we've never met here on earth, whose names we've never heard this side of eternity, God will use us as conduits of his grace in the exact measure of our humility. And we must expect, dare I say, look forward to being humiliated. I'm speaking from a lifetime of religious experience. Lord Jesus, you, the infinite God, became a speechless infant to teach us religious, what we most need to be channels of your grace to a sinful world. We need, dear Jesus, we need humility. You told us to learn from you that you are meek and humble of heart. But dear Lord, we need your help, your light to see our nothingness, your strength to accept our state and helplessness, and always, always surrender our wills to your divine will here on earth as a prelude to seeing you and being loved by you in heaven through all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.